San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Good evening. Welcome to It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer. We're broadcasting tonight with 50,000 watts of power. We reach not only San Diego County, but Orange County, Los Angeles County, Riverside County, up to Seattle on a good night. And it's pretty foggy, so I don't know how far we're getting tonight. But now let me introduce the main man of the hour, the magnificent CPA and family office guy, Mr. Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ask me what I got for Father's Day.
Oh, what did you get for Father's Day?
This is the most amazing amalgamation of things I think any father's ever gotten on a Father's Day. I got a new pair of running socks, two oatmeal raisin cookies, and a huge calzone from my son, the cook at Papa John's.
Wow. That is congratulations. Happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers out there. And I hope you had a great Sunday. So, but anyway, we've got a couple of great events coming up. Should we talk about Title IX first?
June 23rd, next Saturday.
That is right. Four till 7 or 8 at the Oceanside Pier, correct?
That would be in the evening, so you can sleep in and still come.
And it is free and open to the public. A lot of music, a lot of speech. A lot of festivities and a lot of people, most likely, right?
It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of great speakers. And again, 40th anniversary of Title IX. Great article in the opinion, front page of the opinion section of the San Diego Union by my partner, Kathy Kinane, in the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation. Make sure everybody, you read that. Great article.
Yeah, that was terrific. So let's see, it's free next week. And so just show up. Oh, there's information at iymoney.com. It's an easy website to remember. That's the
website. Also, osideturkeytrot.com.
Or osideturkeytrot.com. But in any case, we've got a really terrific show tonight. And why don't we get right into it?
Yeah, well, Demi's got, my daughter Demi's here too. She's got a story to tell, but it's about somebody who's a friend of our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is Jerry Gross. We'll introduce him in about 2 minutes, but I came home a couple of months ago after having lunch with Jerry, and I said, Demi, did you know that Jerry Gross is friends with Jimmy Niederlander? And Demi says, now, again, my daughter is an actress in high school. She's a sophomore. She's 15, and she's taking musical theater, and she said, Jimmy Niederlander, who is that? And we're going to segue into why his name is important later in the show. And I'm like, what do you guys learn in school? You don't know who Jimmy Niederlander is? I mean, he's the patriarch of Broadway, you know, Annie, and just the, you know, he's the king of Broadway. So anyway, she did some research on Jimmy Niederlander. But Demi, go ahead and tell your story.
Okay, well, I used to be in a musical theater class taught by Miss Walsh, who is the greatest teacher I've ever had. And every Thursday and Friday, she would show us documentaries on musicals and producers and all of that. And so every Thursday, Friday, we would watch these documentaries and learn all about actors and productions and stuff like that. And so when I heard the name Jimmy Niederlander, I had to look it up. So I looked it up, found out some stuff about him. And then I went back to school, and the next Thursday we were watching a documentary about the production La Caja Fall, which is an incredible production. And I hear this man talking about the musical on the screen. And a name flashes across at the bottom of the page, and it's Jimmy Niederlander. And so I freaked out really hard and started laughing, and then I had to calm myself down because we were just watching this documentary in class with about 30 kids.
And you were the only one who knew who he was.
Yeah, I was the only one, and so I was really happy about that. And Jimmy Niederlander said that La Caja Fall was one of the most incredible productions he's ever seen. It's incredibly significant. And it was the first musical where two men sing a love song together. And so that, yeah.
So that's consistent with our theme of Title IX, advancing the cause of all people, no matter what you believe in. And did you want to say something to Miss Walsh?
Yeah, Mrs. Walsh, most incredible woman I've ever met. Every day is just something new with her. You are incredibly missed. I love you so much. I am more than anything thankful that I got to have you as my teacher, because you are just so amazing and special, and I will always remember you. And so whatever you do in the future, good for you. I absolutely love you. Thank you.
And this was up at Canyon Crest.
Canyon Crest Academy.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to, you might be wondering, what on earth, how are we going to segue into sports from that? But you'll see later
it's
in the
coming.
Show. It's coming. It's coming. So we have a very special guest tonight who used to frequent these halls. That would be Mr. Jerry Gross. And he is a sports broadcasting pioneer here in San Diego. So, Jerry, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here. Frankly, it's been a long time since I was in the studios here, but it brings back some great memories when I was the sports director here on radio and on television long before you two were born.
Yeah. Well, I was born, but I wasn't here yet. But you originally didn't work in these studios. Where was the original studio, Jerry? Wasn't it downtown somewhere?
There was one on Fifth Avenue, just below the... they just put my mic on.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Are y'all set?
I can hear you.
Okay.
You can hear me. See, it's been so long since I've been in the studio, I forgot what
I don't know if my mic is on, but oh well.
Anyway, at any rate, KFMB first was on Fifth Avenue, just below the big hotel, the El Cortez Hotel.
You got to get closer to the mic there, Jerry.
I got to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, you can pull it toward you if you like.
I can pull it toward me if I like. Yeah. How's that?
The whole thing. Okay.
So, Jerry, I know you got your broadcasting start professionally in St. Louis.
Yes, I did. I got my start in St. Louis with the St. Louis Hawks and the St. Louis Cardinals in 1960. I was in the NBA, just came out of the service, got a job and worked there as the assistant broadcaster on the Hawks broadcast in the NBA. And that was the year that Chick Hearn started with the L.A. Lakers in the winter of 61. I started in 60-61, so I got into the league a little earlier than Chick, and he and I have been friends for a number of years.
Yeah, of course, Los Angeles used to be in Minneapolis and then moved west a year or two after signing the great Elgin Baylor, and then, of course, the great Jerry West. So I heard a story that you got hired in St. Louis because you would, on occasion, send samples of your work to Walter Round, who owned the Boston Celtics, who would then stay in touch with other owners who might be looking for broadcasting.
Yeah, that's true. The man who introduced me to him was Kurt Gowdy, who was a friend of a man named Jim Chalmers at USD, whose daughter went to school there, and I got to know him, and I was doing the Middlebury College games, rather. And he said, I'm going to take your tape and give it to Kurt Gowdy, see if Gowdy likes you and whether you should continue. He took the tape. Gowdy said yes, and then he said, why don't you, when you have a chance, say hello to Walter Brown, who ran the Celtics. And in my sophomore year, I went to meet him in his summer home in the Rich area in Massachusetts, and waited for him, and he said, I've heard your tape, and he taught me a great lesson. He said, I've heard your tape, young man, you've got a chance to be a good one, he said, but remember about one thing in life. I have an announcer named Johnny Most, who is analogous to the greats of all time for any number of things, and he said, he is my announcer. Even if I thought you were better than he is, I would never fire him, because he's my announcer. And he said, remember one thing, loyalty is a big thing in my life, and I hope it'll be a big thing in your life. And I've never forgotten Walter Brown about it, but he said, you write me a letter, and every day when I get the letter, every month or every other month, I'll try and introduce you to somebody. He did. He introduced me to Ben Kerner of the St. Louis Hawks at the time, and I ended up getting a job with the Hawks as a young kid with a fellow named Buddy Blattner, who was the Angels announcer a number of years later. And Buddy was the lead announcer there, and I worked there under him. And for 7 years, I worked with the Hawks as their announcer and did the Cardinal baseball on radio and TV for 7 years before I was lucky enough to come here and work as the Padres' first announcer in 1969, 70, and 71 with Duke Snyder.
Well, you saw something interesting happen in St. Louis, though, which is really the integration of what had been the last all-white championship basketball team in the NBA, the 58 version of the St. Louis Hawks, or the last all-white team led by Hall of Famers like Bob Pettit and Cliff Hagan. A couple of years later, I know Lenny Wilkins was drafted by the Hawks. But there's a rather famous story about the Hawks. I think this would be the 61-62 season. Lenny Wilkins was serving his military obligation, so the only other black on the team was a guard by the name of Cleo Hill. And Paul Seymour, the players wouldn't throw Cleo Hill the ball. Coach Seymour told these Hall of Famers like Pettit and Hagan, you've got to get this guy involved. They refused, and I believe the players got the coach fired, right?
Yes, they did, and Paul was... A result of that, did get fired. The three players were from the South. He was a black young man. He was a great shooter. I asked him on the back of an American Airlines Electra one day while we were sitting there traveling into Detroit. I said, hey, why don't you throw the ball to this guy? He's good. He's got a good outside shot. He would make you, Hagan, you, Lavellet, you, Pettit, better players inside because he'd loosen up the outside. And they said, well, he's going to have to earn his ink as a rookie. And I was astounded. I was a rookie. I didn't understand that. And I suddenly realized that jealousy is more of a thing than racism was, but it was a racist issue at the time. And Seymour stuck up for him. And at the time, Seymour said it one time out, the next guy that doesn't throw the ball to the kid, it's a $50 fine. And they didn't throw it to him, and he called another time out. He said, the next time you don't throw to the guy, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. 2 days later, he got fired. I mean, that's the kind of guy Seymour
Paul
was.
Paul Seymour, the coach, got fired.
And, huh. And a great man. And God bless him. He was my first coach as a broadcaster in professional sports.
But while you were in St. Louis doing basketball, the Hawks, by the time you left, which I guess was 66-67, would frequently have five blacks on the court at one time. I think it was Zelmo Beatty, Joe Caldwell, Lou Hudson, Lenny Wilkins, and...
Zelmo Beatty.
Oh, Bill Bridges was the fifth.
Bill Bridges.
I think Paul Silas might have been on that team, too.
He came later, right?
Came later. So you actually saw basically the integration of that team. And then, of course, they moved down to Atlanta.
Yeah, there was a definite anti-black movement in St. Louis, and the owner was afraid if he had too many black players playing, nobody would show up. Well, there was a rule in the NBA in the 60s where you could have one, maybe two, in the early time when the eight teams were there. And if you went beyond that, they were afraid you were going to lose all the attendance, which was foolish because they come today, whether they're all black on the NBA game you'll see tonight, maybe they're all black, and the white people support it. So they were very ill-advised, thinking if you had more than one or two players, you'd ruin your crowd.
And of course, Walter Brown and the Celtics led the way. Bill Russell, Tom Sanders, Casey Jones, Sam Jones. The Celtics tended to have more black players than anybody else. And of course, they won 11 championships in 13 seasons. I think everybody started catching on that if you want to win, you've got to go for talent.
No question about it. And that's what happened.
Concept,
everybody followed what Boston did, and they began to win.
Anyway, hey, we've got to take a little break right now, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs right after this short announcement.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3.
I don't see how you get out of $16 trillion in debt, $5 trillion new Obama debt. At the end of 8 years, God forbid he gets reelected, another $10 trillion. If he keeps on this path, there's no way he won't double the amount of debt accumulated from every president prior to him. That's how bad this is. It's his economy. It's his record deficits. And somehow now he's blaming Republicans for all this.
Sean Hannity, tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Hey, it's Mike Slater, and I want to tell you about my friends at Zero Res Carpet Care. By now, I've been telling you about it for months now, about the amazing job cleaning carpet, upholstery, and tile in your home. I had the most disgusting tile when I moved into my apartment, and they came by and they cleaned it right up. It looks amazing. And Zero Res wants to make it so easy for you with the KFMB special. Three rooms starting at only $129. Give them a call for details, but that is an amazing deal. Now, you may not know that Zero Res cleans offices, restaurants, hotels, banks, even airplanes. If you need your airplane Zero Resified, if it has a carpet or upholstery, they'll clean it. And they have an amazing process for cleaning delicate oriental rugs as well. Do not use chemicals on those rugs. It's going to ruin them. Call Zero Res. They'll make them look great and last longer. Here's the number. 858-486-4100. It's 858-486-4100. Zero Res. Spell it forward or backward. It spells the same. You can book online also, zerosandiego.com.
No two pre-owned Mercedes-Benz are alike. Hello, Southern California. I'm Fletcher Jones, Jr. If you think a Mercedes-Benz is out of your reach, consider a platinum-certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from Fletcher Jones Motor Cars. Most are pristine, low-mileage, one-owner vehicles refreshed to the highest factory standards. A well-maintained Mercedes-Benz can last forever, but you've got to start with the right vehicle in the first place. Fletcher Jones selects only one out of every three to go through our rigorous platinum certification process. In fact, some of our clients think they're better than new because we add an additional year up to 100,000 miles to the manufacturer's original warranty. We know you can buy a used Mercedes anywhere, but Fletcher Jones provides the highest standard certified pre-owned vehicles available, and you still get all the complimentary amenities afforded new car buyers, including free airport shuttle, car washes, and loaner cars. There's only two of us that will know you're not driving a brand new Mercedes-Benz, and we're not talking. Call us at 949-718-3000. Visit us at fjmercedes.com, or better yet, drive over today to Jamboree at the 73.
Fletcher Jones Motor Cars, Mercedes-Benz, Newport Beach.
The following is an important public announcement for all individuals concerned about protecting their identity and privacy online.
Right now, your private information is available for anyone to see. Information like your children's names, religious and political views, birth date, and even photos of your home. In response, the White House recently unveiled a Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights that declares your right to your personal information on the Internet. And now, with the new innovative online privacy service called Delete Me, you can take control back and delete your private information from prying eyes. Delete Me removes more of your information from sites more thoroughly than any current option. To help you get started, Delete Me is now offering a free personal identity scan to reveal your personal information and show you how to delete it. You can simply access your free scan at 123DeleteMe.com. That's 123DeleteMe.com. Protect your online privacy now by going to 123DeleteMe.com to receive your free personal identity scan. That's 123DeleteMe.com.
We lead. You follow. They get out of the way. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with Richard Musio and our illustrious guest, sports casting legend in San Diego, Jerry Gross. Take it away, Richard.
So, Jerry, we were talking about your days in St. Louis. You were also a broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team that, I guess, included three gentlemen who ultimately wind up in the Hall of Fame for their announcing, Joe Garagiola, Jack Buck, and, of course, Harry Carey. And I guess you were there for a couple of World Series championships, right? 64 and 67?
In 64, we beat the Yankees, and in 67, we defeated the Red Sox in seven. And I have a ring on my right hand that is given to me by Stan Musial, a dear friend and the GM.
Wow.
And my pal, Red Cheney's, was the manager. And Jack Buck and Harry Carey and I were three of the announcers. Joe Garagiola had left us and gone to New York City to be the first NBC Today Show host after David Garraway. And as a result of that, we started out with Buddy Blattner, who was there initially. So there were five of us initially. Buddy went on to do the Angels. Joe went to New York to do NBC. Harry and Jack and I were left. And then eventually, Harry got fired. And Jack became the number one guy and was probably one of the great people I've met over the years. Harry was a very controversial guy, and Harry eventually got fired for having an affair with Gussie Bush's son's wife, and they blamed on me. They said I was the guy who squealed on him, which I didn't, but his son once sent word to me after I came.
How'd you get in the middle of that?
I didn't. I was working for the agency, and they thought that I squealed on him because Harry got me fired, gave Harry's son my job, and thought that I was so mad that I would have told somebody who was having an affair with Gussie Bush's son's wife, which I wasn't. Everybody knew he was. And so when he got fired, Skip Carey thought that I had blown the whistle on him. So he sent word by the third base coach of the St. Louis Cardinals, who had come to town, and said to me, by the way, you're in San Diego now doing the Padre games, and Harry Carey's son, Skip, is so angry because his father got fired, he blames you. He's coming to town to kill you.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. I said, oh, fine. Tell him I'll meet him in the dugout after the game and tell him to lose a little weight when he gets here. I was a little upset. And, of course, he came and said, no, he found out I hadn't done it. And he even put me on the talk show with the
car. So you guys scattered to the four winds, I guess. Harry, is that when he went to Chicago after that?
Harry went to Oakland first.
Oakland.
He worked with Chuck Finley. Then Finley fired him, and Finley called me when I got fired. And he wouldn't give me an apartment to go live in, as he had given Harry an apartment. So I said, I can't take the job, Mr. Finley. Sorry. And hung up. He went on to win three world championships in a row. And I'm at home selling apples on the corner trying to make a living.
But you wound up here and said, well, of course, that Cardinals team, of course, sort of changed how baseball was played because it went from sort of a one base at a time game to people like Lou Brock and Curt Flood who could actually run. And, of course, you got to see the great Bob Gibson. I remember seeing Bob Gibson here in a game in 1970 when he shut the Padres out. And Bob Gibson hit a home run, a triple, and a single.
Oh, my God. This is a pitcher.
Gibby was a pitcher and a great competitor, probably the greatest competitor I've ever seen, with the exception of Jackie Robinson, whom I saw play for a while, and maybe Bill Russell in their respective sports. I thought Gibson would never lose that game, the seventh game in Detroit, the year he lost to Mickey Lolich.
Yeah, they didn't repeat.
And if I had any money, I would have bet on that game, the house, that he would win it. And unfortunately, Kurt slipped in center field on a fly ball in the alley. It led to the winning run. And in that game, Brock did not slide going into home plate, tried to go in standing up. They called him out.
They called him out,
Cardinals,
I remember.
Would have won the game. You've got a great memory.
Well, my teacher in fourth grade let us watch that game in class because, you know, all the games were in the day. I mean, she was great. We were watching the World Series in class.
I used to sneak a radio and the,
actually that was fifth grade.
I used to put the earphone up my sleeve and into my ear and
like
listen to the.
It's like why didn't rock slide? So anyway, you wound up in San Diego then for, I guess, late 1967, because that's when the San Diego Rockets came into being, right?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be the first NBA announcer, play-by-play, in San Diego, and the first Major League Baseball announcer in San Diego, play-by-play. And then I even got lucky when Tom Murphy hired me to be the first single host to do a two-hour radio talk show on sports in San Diego. So I was fortunate to be known as the first guy, or what a pioneer, somebody said, to do all three of those things. And then I had another break. I was the first ESPN college football broadcaster to do a national ESPN college football game, and that was in 1973, the first year they started ESPN became big.
Wow.
So on those four things, everybody said, gosh, you were there, you're really old. I said, yeah, I guess I am.
Well, okay, here's the thing about a lot of people don't remember the San Diego Rockets. They're now the Houston Rockets.
Right.
And they set an NBA record in the first season in 67-68 by losing 67 games.
Who were some of the players?
Well,
on that team?
They didn't have any players the first year. Don Cogis, John Block. But here's the thing. They got to draft Elvin Hayes the next year.
Yeah, they did.
Lou Alcindor's great
amazing.
Nemesis.
You would bring up the fact that I was on one of the worst teams of all time.
But then they made the playoffs in their second year.
Yeah, and they did very well. But when I became the Padre announcer after I left them, we lost 110 games the first year,
yeah,
99 the second, and 100 years the third. So every team I was announcing with, they seem to lose a lot. And, of course, naturally, when your team loses, you dump the announcer.
That's how that goes. Exactly.
Did C. Arnold Smith own the team at the time?
He owned the Padres.
Yeah. Okay. Bob Breitbart owned the Rockets. Yeah. And, of course, a moving van came in the dead of night. The Rockets were only around for four seasons.
And then when did the San Diego... The team that Bill Walton was on.
Well, no, here's professional basketball in San Diego, 62nd version. So the Rockets were around for 4 years. They took off for Houston. We were without a team for 1 year. Then the ABA came in.
Right.
Okay, they were known as the San Diego Conquistadors.
Ah.
And in their second year, Leonard Bloom, who by then was the owner, hired Wilt Chamberlain away from the Lakers to be the player coach. But Jack Kent Cook filed an antitrust suit saying that Wilt had to sit out a year. So he basically did nothing. He couldn't play, and he didn't really coach because his assistant was Casey Jones.
But he was still
busy. Casey Jones did all the work, and they were here for him.
Stan Albeck did, too.
Albeck did some coaching, too. Right. But anyway, so they existed for four seasons, but they went out of business after 11 games in their fourth season, which was the last year of the ABA. I think they changed their name to the San Diego Sales. They had one famous player named Caldwell Jones.
Big shoes. I had sneakers at home that were big enough to put my children in them and go to bed in them. That's how I remember him. He had big sneakers.
But he sort of was Julius Erving's, protector in Philadelphia when the Sixers won a championship.
That's right. Dr. J, now he played a few games here when the Conquistadors were here, right? Didn't he play?
He was with the New Jersey or New York team.
Yeah.
Who also coached in here once for a while when he was in the NBA briefly was Dick Vitale.
Sure.
Huh. All right. Now, Dick Vitale worked with me in Indiana when I went to do the Pacers games there. He was the analyst there. And Dick Vitale, what you see on television, that's Dick Vitale off camera.
Okay.
Same time, no change.
It's a lot
of
energy.
Never stops.
Holy
Goes 100 miles. But I watched him in his first game in the arena. I'd been fired from that job, so I was in the bleachers with my son watching him. And Dick Vitale never stopped. All from the minute the whistle blew, he was running up and down. I said to my son, Jeff, that guy's not going to make a month and a half as a coach in the NBA. He'll crack up. Well, he got into a fight with one of the head players and they fired him but he would have died with that job. I mean, he would have had a heart attack.
I can believe it.
But Joe, a good guy off the
Joe, to answer your question, the LA Clippers then came in in 78-79.
San Diego Clippers, then they went to LA.
San Diego, but now the LA Clippers.
Sterling.
But they were the Buffalo Braves before that.
Oh, my gosh.
The Buffalo Braves. They came here from Buffalo.
All the sports history, and we, unfortunately, we have to take a little break right now, but we'll be back with Jerry Gross and Richard, myself, right after these short announcements.
Follow 760 in 2012. Mike Slater mornings, Roger Hedgecock afternoons. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Rather than going into someone's home after Marical Design and Remodeling has completed their project, this time we visit John and Lisa Keys of Hamul, and they're about 90% through the process. We wanted to get their honest thoughts about choosing Marical to totally renovate their home. What's impressed them the most has been the people doing the work.
I would definitely recommend Marical. The quality of people and the product is just amazing.
The quality of the people that come to our home. I mean, I know quite a bit about construction and I watch what they do. Most of the people they work with, they've been working with for 15, 20 years. I mean, it's like family, all these different contractors that come in for electric, plumbing, whatever else it may be. Just super quality people.
We have no issues whatsoever, and just compliments and, you know, reassurances that we just made the right choice with Miracal.
Quality construction and design done by quality people. See the Keys home remodeling project online at followthisjob.com. followthisjob.com. Call Miracal and see what's possible for your home. 619-441-9300.
Are you tired of fluctuating gas prices and undecided what to do when you're deciding your next vehicle? We get the question every day. Hi, I'm Dave Grunstrom, CEO of Marvin K. Brown Auto Center. One of the things that separates our dealership from others is we have more choices. We have 6 franchises, and they all have either plug-in electric or hybrid capabilities.
I'm Jennifer Brown, president of MKB. We have all new plug-in EVs from Fisker, Kota, and Mitsubishi in stock and ready for delivery. We also have Cadillac Escalade hybrids and GMC Yukons available with hybrid options. The new Buick LaCrosse with eAssist is now in stock as well.
So if it's choice and selection of a variety of vehicles to have in one location and from a dealership that's a San Diego tradition, come in and check us out.
If gas prices are frustrating you, Marvin K. Brown has plug-in and hybrid options for you. Call MKB today at 800-640-0204. That's 800-640-0204 or online at MKB.com. MKB in the heart of Mission Valley.
Hello?
Hi, is this Steve Bostick, president of Right Size Smoothies?
Yes, are you calling for our special introductory offer?
Well, so I already got your special offer. In fact, I've lost a ton of weight with your smoothies.
Wow, that's great news.
But now I have a problem I never thought I'd have. I can't stop losing weight, but I don't want to stop drinking your smoothies. I love them.
Well, here's one thing you can do. Only drink one smoothie a day. That way you won't cut as many calories. And if you ever need to lose weight again, you can always drink more smoothies.
With delicious right-size smoothies, you'll love losing weight. So to get you started, we're offering anyone who calls today our powerful weight loss smoothies through a special introductory offer. Call 1-800-600-6516 for offer details. The first 100 callers are guaranteed to get this offer, but supplies are limited. Call this number now, 1-800-600-6516. If lines are busy, please try again. That's 1-800-600-6516, 1-800-600-6516.
So what do you do when you have a small problem in your relationship? The best bet is to handle that issue before it turns into a real hassle. Same thing goes for handling termites. Termites are the stealth bugs of the insect world. Hi, I'm Sue Fries, owner of Ecola. Did you know Ecola is the leading ecological solution for termite problems? Right now, termites are looking for a home, your home. Chances are, they've already moved in. Give them a little rain, a little sun, and they'll start swarming and nesting, turning your home into their feast. Ecola will get rid of them quickly and conveniently with the Ecola Green Advantage. Call us today for a free estimate at 877-332-BUGS. Smart choices, simple solutions, problem solved. Mother approved. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about the Ecola Green Advantage warranty. 877-332-BUGS.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow noon to 3. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
2 brush fires are keeping crews busy. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories we're following. Well, the biggest one is about a 200-acre brush fire. It's in a rural area just northeast of Campo. Some homes in that area, people living there, have been told to get out this afternoon. CAL FIRE says it started about 2 o'clock near Miller Valley Road northeast of Campo and spread quickly, and they have no containment. And fire crews also dealing with a vegetation fire near the I-15 in Mission Valley. Better news on that one. That last report is that it was 80% contained. And running back LaDainian Tomlinson going to end his career right here where he started. He'll re-sign with the Chargers, then immediately announce his retirement from the NFL. He'll do that Monday at a ceremony at Charger Park. Do it yourself this weekend. Build an outdoor fire pit with materials and accessories from RCP Block and Brick. Go to rcbblock.com and start your project today. In weather, we've got cloudy skies and 65 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, Padres beat Oakland today 2-1. They avoided a 3-game sweep. They take on the Rangers Monday at Petco. Follow Mike Slater Monday morning on 760 KFMB.
Right.
Rodney King, who was beaten by Los Angeles officers 20 years ago, sparking riots, was found dead in a swimming pool today. ABC's Alex Stone in L.A.
About a month and a half ago, King was very visible again. On the 20th anniversary of the L.A. riots, he was out with a book reflecting back. He did a number of interviews saying he'd been trying to clean up his life. After the riots, he had some run-ins with the law, domestic violence, DUI, but he said he was trying to clean things up later on.
There are reports Rodney King may have been drinking and doing drugs before his death. Thousands of people marched silently in New York City protesting the police department's stop-and-frisk policy. The NYPD stopped close to 700,000 people last year. For hours now, an off-duty New Jersey police officer has been holed up inside a suburban Philadelphia home. Authorities say 42-year-old Richard Klementovich has fired upon officers outside. And 26-year-old Webb Simpson wins the U.S. Open golf tournament. This is his first major golf title. Brad Wheeless, ABC News.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
I don't think my government represents me. I'm not proud of what my government is.
We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, and we're back with our my co-host, Richard Musio, and our illustrious guest, Jerry Gross. Welcome back. You have some sponsors to thank, Richard?
Yeah, thanks to all of our sponsors, UBS, Mr. Michael Quaranta and Drew Freitas, Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited, the CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito at Polito Epic Associates, Regents Bank, Sean Puckett, Dan Yates, and everybody else at Regents, and of course, Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal. And as I mentioned, we've got a couple of new sponsors coming on board officially on July 1, but we'll mention them now. Jason Kruger at Signature Analytics, and of course, the iconic La Valencia Hotel in La Jolla. So, Jerry, we were talking about your early days in San Diego. So by 1969, you are the first Padres announcer ever. You got to broadcast a team, as you said, lost 110 games. However, the Padres did win their first game ever. Actually, they won their first three games ever against the Houston Astros. And I looked this up. The game took 2 hours and 15 minutes. Down 1-0 in the fifth, Ed Spezio hit a home run to tie it. And then in the sixth, Roberto Peña got hit by a pitch, and downtown Ollie Brown hit a game-winning double. And Dick Selma struck out 12 guys and pitched a complete game. They don't pitch complete games anymore. It's not in their contract, apparently. And you were there with the Hall of Famer, Duke Snyder, as the Padres announcer.
Duke was my idol as a kid. I remember keeping a notebook on him when I was a youngster growing up when he'd strike out. I'd go to the dinner table. My mother would say, "Duke had a bad day, huh?" And I'd say, "Yeah." I actually kept a log with a newspaper clipping of the box score of every game, which was sent to me from the Brooklyn Eagle to Rhode Island, where I lived. I'd put it in my little notebook, and I'd write down the key play of the game. And Duke was my idol. I wore his number in high school and prep school and college. And then suddenly I found out I was going to work with him, my idol. And I was like in heaven. And then I found out that Duke, like everybody else, had his good points and his bad points. We were sitting in a bar one day, Duke and I and Frank Sims, who did the games with me. And we'd had a few pops, and Duke's in between us, and all of a sudden Duke says, "You know, you guys are really nothing." And, you know, it's bad enough we're on a losing team. We're in the third year, you know, we've lost, and we're all looking at each other. And he said, "Yeah, you guys don't know anything about the game, and you're making more money than I am." And he was really, really upset. And I said, "Duke, you know, sorry you feel that way about us, but, you know, for the good of the broadcast, please, let's not make this evident when we're doing the game." Well, we never did, but obviously it destroyed my image of him. And I thought, all those nights I used to come to the dinner table and cry when this son of a gun struck out. Now he's calling me a bum because I'm making, if he's making 15 grand, I'm making 30,000 a year with Frank, and he's yelling at us because he's mad we're making more money than he is.
That's a good story. But yeah, so the Padres lost over 300 games in their first 3 years. But let's see, by the end of the '73 season, they were going to become the Washington Padres because C. Arnold Smith, who owned the Westgate Hotel and U.S. National Bank, committed bank fraud. So he was on his way to where you make license plates.
And so that's where he went.
That's where he went. The team was sold to, I think it was Marge Everett and Joseph Dan Zansky, who were going to move the team to Joe. They were going to move. I actually have some baseball cards before of the 74 season where it's the Washington Padres. But at the last minute, Ray Kroc stepped in and saved the day.
Now, the hypocrisy of the moment on this transaction was the people behind the move to take the Padres from San Diego and move them to Washington, D.C.
Right.
were the Dodgers. run by Walter O'Malley, and Red Smith had written an article in the New York Times, the great writer, saying the real commissioner of baseball is not Bowie Kuhn, it's Walter O'Malley. And Walter O'Malley, what he says goes. What had happened, I was told, by an attorney who tried to buy the ball club in Los Angeles was Walter had put Bavese in town to get the Padres going in San Diego, promulgate baseball for 2 or 3 years, then move the franchise out of town for the express purpose of taking the Dodger home games on a pay-per-view cable television network that O'Malley was involved with, and so was Jack Kent Cook with the Lakers, and pump in their games to San Diego on pay-per-view, but first whet the appetite of the people in San Diego before they could move them out of town, which is what they tried to do, the O'Malley family. I wish Phil Mickelson knew the story, because this is one of the great hypocrisy stories of all time. I know I told Tim Sullivan the story. He said, well, you know, the problems of the father can be forgotten by the son or something. Yeah. He's a nice guy, but he wouldn't write it.
Fall on the sun, yeah.
And that's the true story. The O'Malleys tried to move the club out back then, failed because at the last minute, C. Arnold Smith said, no, I found out that's what they were doing. They were trying to hurt us. I want the team to stay in San Diego. And the real hero of that era was C. Arnold Smith, who abandoned it, sent John Holt in the night they were going to vote, and said, go in there and tell them we're not going to sell. And you should have seen Bavese's face when he came out of the meeting. He was beat red. His son Peter, who was going to be the general manager, Buzzy was going to become the next president of the National League, and his friend Chubb Feeney, who would engineer the whole deal with the O'Malleys, was going to be the next commissioner under Bowie Kuhn. It is the great conspiracy of the Padres, never been told until this moment on this radio station, and I'm so glad it's on a station with financial guys who understand all this.
Absolutely.
Well, history is now repeating itself, because O'Malley wants to buy the Padres.
I know. But, and that was my point.
That's your point. But
God
here's
forbid.
The other. But I'm also going to bring back Jimmy Niederlander, because John Morris had an opportunity in the not too distant past to maybe bring in some solid ownership. So Jerry, tell us that story.
And Don Barter wrote about it. I sat on the story for 2 years. I took a letter to John Morris' front office 4.5 months before Jeff Moore had cut the deal with him. This has never been told on the radio. So I said, take this letter to John. He did. In it, it said, I have two people who want to buy the ball club. One is Jimmy Niederlander, Demi's friend. Okay,
I believe minority owner and, with Steinbrenner, right?
And the other guy was Neil Papiano, who's an attorney and his partner in the Niederlander organization. The offer was made then in writing. I went to the office of Mr. Moores, of John. I'd had John on my show. I went to the office to meet him. He was in Houston, wouldn't talk to me. I emailed him 2 times, 3 times. I talked to his lawyers and everything. John Moores refused to even attempt to negotiate to sell the ball club to Jimmy Niederlander, the patriarch of Hollywood, a billionaire who had 19 Broadway theaters all around the world in London, Paris, New York, Philly, Chicago, L.A., owns the Pantages Theater, a brilliant man with tons of money, and Neil's
Neil Papiano
said to me, Joe, we can cut the deal in 2 weeks. Now we've had a 5-year deal with Jeff Morad that's exploded with no talent coming in.
So the fans
have been treated miserably by John Morris. Now, I've got cancer, and he's done a lot of good things for cancer, and God bless him. But in this case, John Morris was rude. And John Morris is not exactly the most honest human being. But Jerry, let me ask you,
why would you think Morris would avoid a Niederlander ownership? What do you think the rationale was?
The only thing I can say is he wanted to financially make the money coming in at the time expand to what it is going to be now, because if he could stretch it out in 5 years, maybe he wouldn't have to pay his wife the money he was going through the divorce on, number one, and maybe he could enhance the sale of the club, which he will once the TV contract gets culminated, which it will be. He'll sell that thing for more than $585 million now that the Dodgers sold for $2.5 billion. He'll probably sell it close to a billion or more.
Although of interest, Thomas Tull, the Hollywood movie producer, dropped out, and he said that price financially does not make sense. So he is out of the running. That was the
he was a good one too. He dropped. Cohen was his name, right?
Thomas Tull was
the guy who screwed that up was Tony. Tony's had a few warts that nobody writes about in the town, and one of the warts is he was not a very good businessman.
Right. But the thing with Niederlander, it was a business decision, not a personal one. Is that what you're saying? Or
it wasn't Jimmy's decision. It was Moore's decision to be rude and not even get his negotiation going.
Right. But
he refused to talk to him for 4 months.
So, Joe,
and Niederlander doesn't understand it to this day.
Right, but how's that for bringing the start of the radio show full circle?
Demi brought it.
Demi, where did you start over there?
Demi reminded us all of this, see?
You get a hold of that Mrs. Walsh, and he was telling me.
It's a great story, though. Demi, thank you for bringing that up.
Of course.
So now we have lame duck ownership. We have a team that, I guess they're 24 and 43. Their two best players, Carlos Quinton and Houston Street, are almost guaranteed to be traded by the July 31st deadline for yet two or three more AA prospects. And the team can't even field, let alone hit or pitch.
They don't think too well. But do you know what's strange? You brought it up before we come over here. They had an 18-foot wall, 17-foot wall, when I was the announcer for 3 years there, or 4 years or whatever it was, because I came back to work with Coleman and Soupy Campbell. And in 1 year, Colbert hit 38 home runs, Gaston 29, Brown hit 23, Spezio hit 12, and as Casey said, you can look it up, and I did, 102 homers by those four. They had 172 homers, a total in 69, and the fence was 18 feet tall and about 6 feet deeper than it is now.
Wow.
And they were such a better hitting ball club than this club today, it has to be embarrassing to John Moores to say, I own this club. And it's not fair to the fans of San Diego.
No, and that's the thing. We've been season ticket holders since 1970.
It must be the heavy air down by the harbor.
No, Joe, it's not the heavy air down by the harbor.
Or maybe it's the hot air. I don't know.
It's called greed. Follow the money.
Joe, they said they're going to bring the fences in so the Padres can hit more home runs.
Yeah.
But I said, but wait a minute, the other teams have better hitters, so they'll even hit more home runs. Don't you get it? It's a function of talent. Talent wins baseball games.
When you're involved with people like John Moores and Pete Rose.
It's a nice ballpark. Come on.
And all those people, you find out a lot of great story. Tony Gwynn's having his problems. Moores is having his problems. O'Malley had his problems. The Padres have their problems. And even Peter Graham had problems.
Well,
and he got the short end of the stick, too. And there's Mary Alice Hill. She's had bad problems, too.
All right, well, look at the Cubs, though. I mean, they've been around forever. And they, you know, a lot longer than the Padres and a lot more money and a lot bigger media market. You know, they're the
Cubs haven't won a series since 1908. We're just since 1969.
Maybe we need to start bringing goats out in the left field. I don't know, near the bleachers.
It's a pretty ballpark.
Yeah.
The restaurants are good,
that.
Joe.
I love that. You know what? I'm going to go and watch the ball game behind the ball game. Those little kids with the wiffle balls, they're having more fun than the team, I think. So
at Petco, yeah.
You know, where
the park
Tony,
at the park.
Where the Tony Gwynn stand.
Great idea.
And you can watch it on the big screen.
Carlos Quinton has played 15 games,
bucks.
And he's second on the team in home runs. Everybody else has played 64 games. So anyway, good. Man, I wish they would sign Carlos Quinton for another year.
Hey, we better take a break here, Justin. How about that?
Yeah, we better.
I never tell you the story about Harry Carey.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
My landlord.
But hold that thought. We'll come right back with more Venture Money right after this.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
This Obama will always tell you he doesn't have a problem with all of the private equity firms, just those that Mitt Romney ran. One of Obama's top fundraising bundlers, Jonathan Levine, he was the managing director at Bain Cap. The only difference is Levine was there at Bain when the layoffs at the steel plant featured in the anti-Romney ad occurred. Romney had been gone for 2 years. It's amazing to me what this guy gets away with in the media.
Glenn Beck, tomorrow, 9 to noon. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Slider Crusaders, you've heard me talk about Newman replacement windows. If you're in the market for replacement windows or doors, you got to listen up. I'm here right now with the owner, Duncan Newman. Duncan, what is the Newman advantage?
We started this about 19 years ago, and I firmly felt that there was no service left in the construction industry. So my wife and I decided that we would start a company that would treat people like it was the 1950s again. My salespeople are told that when they walk up the driveway to a customer's house, if the newspaper's on the driveway, pick it up and hand it to the customer when you get to the front door as you're saying hello.
Duncan, that's awesome. How can Slater Crusaders experience this Newman advantage?
You can call us toll-free at 1-877-7-NEWMAN. You can look us up on the website at newmanwindows.com, or you can come to any of our showrooms. We have a new 10,000-square-foot showroom on Morena Boulevard at 1176 Morena Boulevard.
And Slater Crusaders get a free in-home estimate. Give him a call, 1-877-7-NEWMAN.
Hey, Steve.
Hello, Kenneth.
So you know how the boss is pressuring us to come up with some new ways to go green and save money?
Yeah,
I got the memo. I proposed dual-pane windows.
Nice. Especially when I thought of it.
Low-flow water fixtures.
Obvious.
But good. And motion-activated light sensors. What do you got?
Solar water heating.
Solar water heating?
Well, Kenneth, it's a system that captures the warmth of the sun to help our regular water heater use less energy. And with all the hot water we use...
That could be huge.
I know, right? This could mean a door for my cube.
Stop it.
Hey, the new sustainability manager's gonna need an office.
Sustainability manager? Last time I checked, you were in charge of supplies.
It falls under the same umbrella, Kenneth.
Well played.
Make solar water heating the next step in your green routine and reduce your business energy bills and CO2 emissions. Rebates are available through the California Solar Initiative Thermal Program. Learn more at waterheatedbythesun.com.
It's been ages since my dad and I had a heart-to-heart, but we did last weekend. He asked if I had life insurance. Can't afford it, I said. He put a hand on my shoulder. The way things are today, you can't afford not to have it. What would Linda and the kids live on if something happened to you? Then he told me how SelectQuote impartially shops for your best rate from several competitively priced term life companies. Well, I gave them a call, and wow, I'm 41 and in great health. SelectQuote found me a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
For your free quote, call 1-800-800-4023. That's 1-800-800-4023. 1-800-800-4023. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
San Diego's talk radio leader. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Back to Richard Musio and Jerry Gross in our last segment.
Boy, this goes by fast. And yeah, good thing the Padres aren't in this channel. We'd be out of here by now. But hey, you know what? We've been season ticket holders since 1970, and this is just not right how the fans are being treated. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So sticking with baseball, Jerry has a great story about Harry Carey, but that's going to be for another time because we don't have enough time for that one.
It'll take about a week to tell you that one.
Exactly. But he's got a great story about something he did with Pete Rose. So you, after you weren't broadcasting for teams, you hooked up with Pete Rose to do a show. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I founded the Pete Rose Talk Show. I was the co-host on the show, the producer, the founder. We had gone into Florida. He'd been on the air when he came out of jail. And a friend of mine, Laurie Singer, was someone who put together an interview that he had on national TV. It went so well, I called and I said, hey, I got an idea, Pete. Suppose we reconfigure your life and you get your life back and maybe you'll get back in baseball. Who knows? Let's do a talk show. And when we do a talk show Monday through Friday, we'll tell you where you're going to be on Saturday and Sunday to sign autographs, and you'll make a ton of money on the weekends. Probably no money with us on the air, but we put together the show, went on the air, did very well. We're going very well, making a lot of money on the show, and then suddenly Pete decided to bail out, and he wanted to do something else and dump me, which he did. But Pete Rose was a very interesting guy and did a lot of funny things, but basically he was a liar. And I love Pete. He's a good guy, but he conned baseball into believing that he was not gambling on his team. He used to come to me and say, Jerry, look at this. And he'd hold up a wad of bills. And I said, where'd you get that? He said, well, I'm off-track betting. I said, Pete, you're trying to reconfigure your life. You shouldn't go and gamble. I said, Pete, why don't you just admit it? I'm not going to admit something I never did. That's BS. I said, Pete, I've read the report from John Dowd. I know what you did. Just admit it. The country will forgive you, and everybody will love you again. Nope, wouldn't do it. And finally, he did. He admitted finally he was a liar.
Well, he bet on his own team, not against his team, right?
But the trouble was, he said, the bookies knew when he would not bet on his team and when he wouldn't lay a dime or $1,000 on a game that the Reds were playing that he was managing, then the bookies would say, hey, he's not betting on this team. Guess who we ought to bet on?
Right. The other team.
The other team. So how Pete blew it. He blew the whole thing.
Yeah,
too bad.
Of course, he's not in the Hall of Fame because of it.
Yeah, probably never will be.
Never will be. All-time hits leader, not in the Hall of Fame.
But he can visit.
And a great player. You know, a lot of fun. Great guy to
visit Cooperstown.
Walk into a bar with Pete, and it was great. Everybody's buying. You know, it was like Harry Carey. He ran all the bars in Chicago. You know,
he was Harry Carey's on everybody's payroll in Chicago.
He was, and except if he hadn't had that affair with his boss's daughter, you know, son-in-law.
And let's not talk about the landlady, for God's sake.
And the landlady, too. My landlady. There was a hood who had an affair with my landlady,
okay,
right? And he got so mad when I got fired, he called me and he said, I'll do anything. I'll take care of that Harry Carey. He shouldn't do that to you. He wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that to a dog. Let me take care of him, Jerry. I said, no, for God's sake, please, Davey, don't touch the guy.
Don't touch the guy.
But I held Harry's life in my hands for 5 minutes. The guy who cost me my job in St. Louis with the basketball team and the baseball.
Yeah, so try this for a segue, you guys. So Buddy Blattner was an announcer in St. Louis. Buddy Blattner was one of the greatest table tennis players I've ever seen, and he used to play table tennis with Bobby Riggs. So Bobby Riggs, of course, played the Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King, and then before that, the Mother's Day Massacre with Margaret Court.
Yes.
So how's that for a segue? Buddy Blattner and table tennis gets us to...
Well, people don't understand. Richard Musial played table tennis with Bobby
Riggs
and won some money.
He did.
$1,000, and nobody's ever told that story.
Jerry, my mother's listening.
Oh, excuse me. We're going to get this. Well, anyway, so now, Jerry, you were working at KFMB, we had this big famous match, the number one senior men's player versus the number one woman player in the world.
Margaret Court.
And, 1973.
Tell us, Mother's Day of 73. So
right. Mother's Day, yes.
What do you remember from that?
It was a Mother's Day massacre. Bobby humbled her, treated her nicely afterward. I had occasion to visit with her on Channel 8, KFMB, and she was nice, and Billie Jean King got so mad, she decided she was going to beat this 65-year-old man who was 25 years older than she was, and she beat him.
55. She was 30, and he was 55.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that led to it and led to the great Title IX start when Billie Jean King humbled him. And, of course, I went there as a guest of Bobby.
So you saw both matches.
Yeah,
right?
I saw both matches and went to the one in Houston. And I'm in on when you see Bobby being brought in on this...
with the rickshaw.
With the rickshaw thing. And right behind it, inside the rickshaw, there's Hans Vichari, his coach, and Jerry Gross.
I saw that picture.
What you were in the rickshaw?
I have no idea why I was there. And I have no idea why I was there, except Hans said, come on, let's go in with Bobby. I said, oh, okay.
And he had these tall blonde women.
Yeah.
They had T-shirts. Bobby's Bosom
Wonderful.
Buddies. Or
Beautiful.
Something.
Yeah. Beautiful. And so Bobby lost the match. Now, I'm there for CBS, right?
How many celebrities were at this thing?
Oh, they were all over the place. We came into the Houston Astrodome to work out the day of the match. Who's coming out but Leo DeRocha? And Leo was managing the Houston Astros, and he says, Bobby, you got to beat that broad. So we all jumped out of the limo, and we all had a picture taken with Leo. And then, of course, Bobby got killed. Now, the post-game press conference.
Wait, tell the story.
No, he's got to tell. Joe, we got 1 minute. He's got to tell the story.
Post-game press conference.
Yeah.
Billie Jean King comes swaggering up to the microphone. I'm in the front row, stick my mic up and say, Billy, this was an amazing match. Is there a chance it could be a best 2 out of 3? Her answer was, can you believe this guy asking me that stupid question?
That's when I no longer
became a fan of Billie Jean King.
Well, you know, she had nothing left to prove, I guess.
Well, and, I still think there should have been a match there, and maybe there was a range, but Richard says no. And I apologize for thinking it was over.
Bobby wanted to play Chris Everett next.
Right.
And Bobby
was betting on himself.
Oh yeah. I sat in his suite before the match. Phones are ringing off the fall. Bobby says, "I'll take $10,000 on that one, $5,000 on this one."
Betting on himself.
And I said to Ashari, "I want to lay a bet." He said, "Don't do it. He didn't hit the ball well today in practice. I don't think he's going to win."
All right.
So anyway, that's how we got from
and
Mrs.
And I saved
Walsh.
Money, too.
All right, but we
got
to wrap
gotta
it up
go,
right
Jerry.
Here.
That's how we
so
got from Mrs.
Go on
Walsh
here.
We got Dick
to Jimmy
Everett.
Jimmy Niederlander, to Buddy Blattner, to Margaret Court, to Billie Jean King,
right,
to Bobby
right.
Riggs.
Right.
I got
that?
Some more stories.
All right, so look, at good night, Richard. Good night, Jerry.
Write a book.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, Justin Hart, our technical director. Thank you to Craig Blank, your account executive, and our programming genius, Dave Sniff. You all have a great week, everybody. And don't forget Title IX next Saturday, 4 to 8 at Oceanside Pier. So have a good night, everybody. Take care.
Is almost here. Are you ready to turn on the AC and get your first big summer electric bill? Get solar now and avoid some of the highest electric bills of the year. With a Baker Electric solar installation and the new SunPower lease, you can go solar. No money down, no investment, just pure savings. Get rid of your expensive electric bills and pay way less for solar each month. The best part? Your low monthly solar payment will never go up. Go solar by June 30th with Baker Electric Solar and you'll get a $1,000 Visa gift card with your solar installation. Great for some extra spending on that summer vacation. Baker Electric Solar is an award-winning company. They're local and family-owned with a 74-year history, and they are the Sun Power Dealer of the Year. Call Baker today to get started. You can get the planet's most powerful solar that'll save you money every month, plus a $1,000 Visa gift card. 1-877-Solar or click BakerElectricSolar.com.
We follow the